Carden Roberts, he is off. He returns on Monday, and then I'm getting the hell out of town. I'll be gone for the week. And then we're back together again for the Subway Series Part 2, which is a week from Monday, Mets against the Yankees. And if everything holds to true to form, the Mets could be throwing Max Scherzer and Jacob deGrom in those two games against the Yankees, which would be something else. And you said yesterday, and I totally get this as a Met fan, wanting to see this team win 100 games.
Absolutely. No question about it.
If you look
It's a big deal to me.
No, I get it. For me, too. I've never seen it happen.
Right.
I mean, the biggest deal is just winning the division.
Well, yeah.
And that's it. And then after that, sure.
Winning it all. Winning it all.
Well, that's the ultimate.
Right.
Their schedule in September, after they're done with this stretch of games where they play Atlanta and they play Philadelphia and they play the Yankees and they have a series with the Dodgers last week of August, they have one of the softest schedules you'll ever see.
Do they?
The Mets should win 100 games by accident. They play the Nationals, the Pirates, the Marlins, the Cubs, the Pirates, the Brewers, the A's, the Marlins, Atlanta, and Washington.
Wow.
I mean,
that
dude,
is pretty soft.
It's soft as tissue.
Yep. Yep.
So that's why when you look
And they've beaten up the bad teams.
They've done a great job of it.
Yep.
They've really done a great
job. They've done what the great teams need to do.
No question. And they've done a great job of beating up their division. I mean, they've dominated
phenomenal.
The NL
East. I think it's 35-13, something like that.
That's why if they survive, and I think they will, or not even thrive, but just play 500 ball against the Phillies and Braves coming up over the next week and a half, they have a soft enough schedule in September where they could really fatten up against teams like the Pirates and the Marlins and the Nationals. And easily win 100 games, which is crazy because this is not something they've done since 88. And I think in 88, they had a huge September to get to 100 wins. Like, I don't think they were really.
They had a very big September. They also ran away with the division.
Right.
And I remember in that year, they were running away with the division. They brought Greg Jeffries up in September, and that was the best he ever was as a Met. Yeah, he was traumatic. He hit it like 321 that September. You know how hyped. Greg Jeffries.
No doubt, yeah.
I mean, you know, all of that. Swinging a bat in a swimming pool. I mean, all of this stuff. But whatever. But he was majorly hyped. And, yeah, they had a great September. They won 100 games. And then the disaster against the Dodgers.
And I think the Mets are going to do the same thing this September. I think Alvarez gets the call in September.
Yeah, good.
I don't think he's going to catch because I don't think they're going to. Yeah. Or just pinch hit off the bench. I think they're going to give him that experience of being on this team in September, because next year, Francisco Alvarez is the catcher for this team.
Oh, no question.
You know, even if it means they got to eat James McCann's contract.
Yeah, no, Alvarez starts, Nito backs him up.
Yep.
That's it. I'm good with that.
Time for Yankee tickets. We do this every single day right around 3 o'clock. A chance to see the New York Yankees in person. It's a Jersey Mike's Yankee box office splits. Pair of tickets, Yankees Jays on Saturday, August 20th. We'll take caller number 4 at 866-540-WFAN for your chance to win. All from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, box office splits, and the Fan. I don't know if it was Heyman who reported it, so I guess I'll just give him credit.
Oh, this is the guy the Yankees were going to trade for Soto?
Not Soto. Because Soto's different. I think for Juan Soto, the Mets and the Yankees should offer anything and everything.
This is for Castillo from the Reds.
For Luis Castillo.
Right.
The Yankees were reportedly willing to offer Jason Dominguez, which I'm not saying is right or wrong. I'm just surprised because we have heard so much hype about the Martian, the switch-hitting Mike Trout. He's Mickey Mantle. Mm-hmm. Like, he has been one of the most hyped guys ever since the Yankees signed him a few years ago. And to hear that the Yankees are willing to part with him for a very good pitcher in Luis Castillo.
Very good.
Very good. Is he an ace? I don't think he's on that level. He's very good, though. They were willing to offer Jason Dominguez for Luis Castillo. Stuns me. And I think gives me a little bit of a warning sign that the Yankees are hyping him up more than maybe what they actually think he is.
God knows we've seen that by teams over the years.
Jesus Montero comes to mind with the Yankees.
Oh, my God. Hey, that was Ernie's favorite guy.
Loved him.
Jesus Montero. And is he even in major leagues anymore?
No.
Nowhere to be seen, right?
No.
And he can't be that old.
I would guess he'd 30? Probably be 30. Yeah. And he was traded for Michael Pineda. And the backlash from that was, how could you trade Jesus Montero?
Right.
And the reality was, the Yankees hyped him up. So I'm starting to think that, and by the way, Big Mac is going to watch Jason Dominguez this weekend.
That's right.
He believes the hype so much, Joe.
Where is this at, bro?
Hudson Valley. The Hudson Valley Renegades. They're single A team.
Oh, okay.
So it's 35 minutes from my house.
Right? What is that, right off 84? Is that where it is?
I've never been. I'm going to go check it out for the first
Dutch's
time.
Dutch's Stadium.
I think it's right off 84.
Maybe. Our old Twitter Baseball would have our championship game at Dutch's Stadium.
Oh, is that right?
That's correct.
Are you still doing Twitter Baseball, by the way?
We do, but we don't get to play there anymore.
Where do you play now?
Well, we play our regular games in College Point, Queens,
right,
and our championship
every Sunday,
game. Every single Sunday.
Wow.
I mean, I don't show up that much. I got to be honest with you.
Really?
I run the bro.
Two now you're like the commissioner now?
I'm basically the commissioner. Yeah. I show up once in a while.
Do you? You play? You still pitching?
I do play. I do play when I can. It's just very difficult to get there
every Sunday. But the league is thriving even without you.
The league is thriving.
Wow.
The Bros are in the playoffs. Wow. They still represent you with the team name Bros.
That's unbelievable.
And they still have a logo of your face when we won our championship in 2015.
My lovely face.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby.
And if we win the title, because the playoffs start next weekend, you're going to get some kind of, you know, Bros championship t-shirt. So just be ready for that. Yeah.
Okay. Go Bro.
Go Bros. Go Bros. Now, do you agree, Big Mac, that you're now being hoodwinked? Jason Dominguez ain't that good.
No, I don't believe that, no.
Dude, they're offering him for Luis Castillo.
Luis Castillo's an ace pitcher that could help them win a championship.
Hold on.
I'm surprised they're offering him for him.
If he's the next Martian, if he's Mike Trout,
well,
if he's Anthony Volpe, a guy they will not offer to anybody.
Martian?
Well, that's his nickname. He's the Martian.
That was his nickname.
Dominguez's nickname is the Martian.
Correct.
Yeah, you want to know why?
Well, we know he's not from Mars. Although
he's out of this world.
He's out of this world, Joe.
Stupid me.
But he's not out of this world enough to not be offering him for Luis Castillo. Dude, that's got to stun you.
It's a little surprising, but he's 19 years old. He's in single A. I think it's more of how much they believe in Volpe because it took Seattle three out of their top five. They're going to have to give one of these prospects.
I'm telling you right now. Jason Dominguez will never play a game for the New York Yankees.
You don't think so?
Ridiculous.
Excuse me. Why is
never
that ridiculous?
Never play a game for them.
He will not because he's bad.
Because he was offered in this one deal.
They're going to trade him.
Because they're going to trade him. Yes. Right. I want to make that clear. I'm not saying he's a bust. I'm not saying he's anything. I'm just saying I believe, based on the fact that he's offered for Luis Castillo, that they're going to use him as a chip and they're going to trade him. And who knows? Maybe it's for Otani. Maybe it's for Juan Soto when the Padres flip him in a year and a half. I don't know who it's for, but you're going to trade him, just like Brian Cashman has brilliantly done in the past. These superstar prospects that have built up bigger than, you know, Babe Ruth, and then you flip them for that veteran player you want in the moment. I'm telling you right now.
Listen, if it's for Otani, I'm okay with it.
Kind of like Kazmir for Zambrano.
By the way,
I had to say
they were going
to
fix him.
If I'm wrong,
Rick Peterson knew exactly how he was going to do it. He's going to fix him.
He had the water thing. What was the thing with the water?
He came into our building.
Remember this?
It was the Astoria Studios of WFAN. I think
was that where it was? We were still in Astoria?
I think he was co-hosting with Mike for the day because Mike was looking for a co-host with Dog and all that.
Was going to happen.
Rick Peterson.
Yeah.
And Rick Peterson noticed that I had put, or you had put, one of us had put, a cup of water on a piece of paper. Like I have right now. I have a cup of water, piece of paper. Wow. And he comes over.
You're all over this.
And he picks up the cup of water. And very calmly, he says, "You don't want to do this." And I said, "Excuse me?" He's like, "Yeah, it's very bad karma to have a cup of water on a piece of paper." And then he starts explaining how the neons or the oxygen.
The neons.
I don't know. He's making up words. I'm convinced he was just making stuff up. The atoms, they percolate the wrong way. Wow. And I'm looking at him like, this is the guy who said he could fix Victor Zambrano in 15 minutes, and he's breaking down why water can't be on a piece of paper? And you were there cracking up. Like,
sure. I was a big fan of Rick.
Yes.
Big fan.
It was very strange.
Oh, my God.
But if Jason Dominguez gets to the major leagues, I'm a man of my word. Right. I'm going to buy you a Dominguez jersey.
Okay. As a Yankee.
Sounds good.
If
he gets to the major leagues as a New York Yankee, I will buy you a Dominguez jersey. And if he doesn't, you're going to take care of me with something else. Maybe another jersey for myself, all right?
You buy him the Padre jersey. When they traded for
Soto. I'll buy him a Kevin Durant jersey.
You piece of crap. Don't say that.
Celtic?
Exactly.
Can't you see Durant going to Boston?
The 76ers.
Can't you see Durant going to Boston and say, "Can I wear number 6? the pain.
He's going to end up in Boston, too.
Good. Let him go there. I don't like him anyway. I never liked Durant, did to your franchise.
Oh, I killed him.
I mean, you were down on Darren Williams. Darren Williams never did to your franchise what this guy did.
Well, it's asinine. It doesn't even make any sense what's going on right now, especially because he had me buying in that he wanted to be here. He was going to be a career net after he signed that extension. And they were going to have a chance to win next year. I don't know if they were going to win, but they were going to have a chance to win. And to now all of a sudden have these ultimatums of fire this guy, fire that guy.
You know, they just, like I told you, man, they got to, And I'm not a Net fan, but I don't dislike your team. You know that.
Right.
You know, I did. I rooted for those teams in the finals, the Jason Kidd teams and all of that. You know, and I never had an issue with the Nets at all because there's really been no real rivalry with the Knicks.
Right.
I mean, you know, they're never good together. But the Durant thing really, really ticked me off, man. I felt bad for you. And just this guy dictating all this stuff. And what have you done? You've done nothing.
They've won one round. That's really it. They won one round. And now they're in a tough spot because Sean Marks is going to be here for a long time. And quite frankly, I trust him because led the Nets out of the mess that Billy King set up. He inherited a team with no draft picks.
I forgot about Billy King made the Celtic trade, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And Sean Marks took
Billy
over
King.
With no
is
picks.
Is he in politics now or something, Billy King?
He actually works in radio now.
Really?
I think he's down in Philly.
Is that where he is?
Yeah, doing like Philly sports, whatever. I don't even want to think about
Billy
King.
No, don't think. I'm sorry. I brought him
but
up.
But Sean Marks saved the Nets out of that mess.
Right.
So if anyone's going to trade Kevin Durant, I trust Sean Marks.
Do you want to keep Kyrie?
For now, I do, yes.
Okay.
I do. Because I'm not getting anything for him.
Does Ben Simmons ever play?
He better.
No, but he better. Does he ever play?
I don't trust that he is. But they...
Lugie, does Ben Simmons ever step on a court again?
On the court again, yes. For the Nets, no.
What?
Wait, are they gonna
trade
him? Agree with that?
No, I think he'll play this year.
You do, huh?
Yeah, I think he'll
play. They have to get his value up, and then they can trade him. Like, I'm not a believer in trading guys when they have no value. You know, Kyrie Irving, say what you want about Kyrie, how crazy he is, how this or that.
No, he's a tremendous
player.
Yeah, he is that.
I'm not trading him for 10 cents on the dollar. I'm not.
Right.
So I think they got to maximize the return on Kevin Durant. And you know what they may have to do, and this sucks, they may have to force him to come to training camp. And if Kevin Durant wants to hold out, he holds out. And you wait, and you wait, and you wait.
Well, until the Celtics ready to make this deal, or what?
They've offered Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and one number one. And that's not enough.
And the Nets want Smart.
They're going to want Marcus Smart, Robert Williams, multiple number ones. Obviously, they may not necessarily get that. But I think you've got to get either Smart or Williams, in my opinion.
Right.
You got to get one of them.
Yeah, okay.
And if Boston's going to hold off on it, then the Nets can't say yes. And with Toronto, the guy I really want, the guy where I'd make the trade today, and I'm not sure how familiar you are with this guy, because he only played 1 year in the league. He won Rookie of the Year this year. His name is Scotty Barnes.
Right. Not really familiar with him.
He's 20 years old. You could tell. To me, he's got it. I think he could be the next Kawhi Leonard. I think he's got that kind of potential.
Did he sign off on a trade to Toronto?
I don't give a rat's ass what he signed off on.
So he has no trade clause in his contract.
No. If this guy wants out, I will send him wherever hell he goes.
I would rather see him go to Toronto based on for him. So he's like in Siberia.
Right.
Okay. But for you, you're better off if he goes to Boston with the package you would get.
I think Scotty Barnes has the biggest superstar potential of any of the guys they could get back.
Okay.
And it wouldn't just be him because you'd have to make the numbers work.
Yeah.
So that would be my dream trade.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to happen because here's what I think really hurts us or the Nets or the world. The Toronto Raptors won a title 3 years ago. And I think that kills the Nets' chances here. And here's why. They're not desperate.
Yeah.
Masai Ujiri has a 20-year-old Rookie of the Year award winner. He could say, I don't need to trade for Kevin Durant. I did the gamble with Kawhi Leonard. I won an NBA title.
Right.
I'm just going to try to build with what I have.
That makes sense.
I think if they hadn't won anything, it's a completely different story.
I get the sense it doesn't really matter to those people up there, to the Toronto fans.
Oh, I think they care. I think they're a passionate fan base.
No, I know you are, but I think they're going to root for them no matter what.
Yeah,
that's my point.
I think they'll root for them no matter what, but I think because they won a championship recently, it's easier to say, I'm not trading my 20-year-old Rookie of the Year award winner. I want him to be my guy for the next 10 years. What am I getting out of Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
2 years?
Yeah.
So I think sometimes, I guess, Jet fans, we're desperate. We really are.
No, we're sick is what
we are. We're sick and we're desperate.
Right.
As a Met fan, we're sick and desperate.
Yes, we are.
As a Nets fan, I'm sick and desperate.
Well, if you're a Knicks fan, you're pretty sick and desperate, too.
You're sick and desperate, too.
Right. Outside of the Rangers, I mean, you know.
You want a championship more than anything, and I think you're willing to make trades that maybe a team that won 3 years ago isn't willing to make.
I understand that.
That'd be the way I view it.
Yeah, I get that.
But, yeah, I think the Celtic package could very well be the best package. Jaylen Brown plus...
And that's where he wants to go, right?
I don't care where he wants to go. Why does that matter?
I trade him to the Sacramento Kings just to stick it to him.
Dude,
I honestly trade him as far away as I could.
I don't want to stick it to him.
If he has a no-trade clause.
I don't want to stick it to him. What I want is the best return.
No, of course.
Because at the end of the day... I'm at Barclays Center the night Durant isn't there. I'm there the year after that.
You're a real Net fan. You're a Net fan. You're the biggest Net fan I know.
So I got to get the most back. I don't give a rat. I can't believe I've come to this point, but I actually have. I don't even care if it's the Knicks anymore. And I'm not saying that's going to happen.
No, no way.
I need the best return.
Yeah.
Now, no
offense, never trade him to the Knicks.
They wouldn't do it. I don't think you have the best return without any disrespect.
No.
But that's where I'm at.
Yeah. I honestly, the Knicks fans are going, do I really want Durant? I don't want him. This guy's never won a championship as the lead guy on his team. Give me a break. He had to go to Golden State to win a title, and Golden State's won one before him without him and after him without him.
And think about this, Joe. If he goes to Boston, he goes to the team that just swept them.
Yeah. That's right. I didn't even think about that. That's right.
That's where he'd go.
Right.
But at this point, I just, I got to get the biggest return possible.
Very difficult guy to like. Very good, difficult guy to like.
I'm done liking him now.
How could you not be?
Unless.
How could you not be?
Unless they all make peace with each other, and then he's
now,
back,
what do you think
he's my only hope.
What is the percentage of that happening? 20%? You think that there's a legitimate percentage for that?
I think it's dead now.
Yeah.
He's got to
go. They got to get rid of him.
I thought a week ago it was possible. Once the report came out from earlier this week that he said to Cy, you need to fire Marks and Nash, I thought it was dead.
Yeah.
I think this could have been done privately. If privately, look, Steve Nash to me is not a very good head coach.
No, he's terrible.
If Kevin Durant went to the owner and said, you got to get rid of the head coach, he wouldn't have been the first player to do that. And to me, it's not even that big of a deal.
Right.
I wouldn't have had an issue with that.
I mean, how many guys have we seen do that? We start with Magic Johnson.
Yes. It's happened a lot.
Right.
LeBron James,
right,
probably.
Right. Yep.
Where he crossed the line.
Jason Kidd.
Yeah. Jason Kidd.
Yep.
Where he crossed the line of Sean Marks. Because, like, seriously, who the hell's going to be the general manager if they get rid of Sean Marks? Your buddy Rich Kleiman? Like, who the hell's going to be the general manager? You? Like, what? Who's the GM?
No, I'm not being a GM of anything.
I didn't mean you. It's such a freaking mess. Yeah, I said that about Kevin Durant. That's my guy. Well, guess what? He's not my guy because all of a sudden he's cheating on me. Now he's screwing around, so I don't want him anymore. How can I want him anymore?
Not only is he cheating on you, you've gotten nothing out of it.
Yeah, I got nothing out of it.
What have you gotten?
We slept together a few times.
Not even that. You might have got. You basically got a peck on the cheek.
Yeah, essentially.
Right, Luke? What? I mean, did you even get a kiss?
You got a peck out of it. A peck on the cheek.
He's just here sleeping with you. He's marrying us.
All right.
I don't want to hear that anymore.
What was that? Where did that come from?
I was very excited when he signed his extension because to me it was, he's my guy.
Right.
No more talk about it. He's just here sleeping with you. He's marrying us.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
That's what I thought.
Woo.
And guess what? He got me very excited. That
and you
game.
Got no prenup here either.
No, I lose everything.
I mean, come on.
I'll tell you, what would you describe Game 5 against Milwaukee as? Because that was quite a night.
It was great, but he didn't win the series.
Exactly. He hits the game tying two at the end of Game 7.
He gave me the tease, you know?
It was the ultimate tease.
Right, right.
Imagine the biggest tease you've ever gotten. Picture that in your brain?
I might be able to put that in my brain somewhere.
Put that in your brain.
Right.
When Kevin Durant hits that shot, foot on the line, we'll see.
Right.
And then the 3 minutes of waiting for the overtime to start. And then realizing you're not going to win. Think about that. That's the biggest tease one could have.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I have no love for Durant. What he has done to the Net franchise is disgraceful. That's my feeling.
Amen.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
I will be like right as soon as the game's over, right to the postgame show. So I can see everything I need to see. You know what I mean?
I understand.
You know what I mean?
This Apple TV Plus thing is annoying.
Oh,
but
it's annoying.
It is free. Like, you don't even have to sign up necessarily for
it. How many games? I know the Yankees are on, as I'm, you know, I'm mumbling here. I know the Yankees are on yes tonight, but most of their Friday games have all been on the stream service.
They have. I think next week they actually have a weeknight game that's on Amazon Prime.
Is that right?
And with Amazon Prime, like, once you're connected to it, it's not a big deal because it's the Yes broadcast. You're getting the same crew. You're getting Kay or Ruco.
See, that bothers me if we don't get that with the Mets.
Well, because it's a national broadcast. Like, that decision to go to Amazon is a Yes Yankees thing.
Oh, I see.
It's almost like,
I get it. I get it. Like Channel 11.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the exact equivalent I was going to give you. It's like when initially the Yankees and Mets were always on free TV, and then they started doing the cable thing. I think this is the equivalent of that in 2022. They're starting to incorporate the streaming services. Mm. Apple TV Plus is a national broadcast. So tonight, when the Mets are playing the Phillies, they're not going to... I mean, Cliff Floyd is probably well aware, but it's going to be a very national
view of things. Bob, these people, you know, that do the games that are not, you know, that are the national guys, you know, guys and the ladies, they don't know anything about the Mets. That makes me nuts.
No, I agree.
I mean, that makes me crazy.
I think with this sport more than any other sport, you want your local announcers.
No doubt about it.
You want the people that watch this team every single day.
And they should be able to do the playoffs as well. See, that really stinks.
Well, I think, have you seen, I don't know if you have, but they have a Sunday morning streaming package on Peacock. Okay.
I do know about that with Peacock.
The Mets have had one game on Peacock.
Right.
It was against the Marlins, a noon start in Miami, let's say a month and a half ago.
Okay.
And what they do, and it's brilliant, is they have a play-by-play guy who's pretty good. I forget his name. Benetti, I think is his name. You have a play-by-play guy. And then they take one guy from each team as an
analyst.
That's
like they used to do in the World Series.
Yes.
And I like that.
It's great.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what they should do, because then at least you get a little bit of a feel for your team and a feel for the other team.
Yeah. I that always gets me ticked. Like, even like with the hockey with the Rangers, they give you the first round with Sam and Micheletti.
Right.
And then you got to have the national guys do it.
Yes.
I didn't think they were terrible. They weren't,
they weren't bad, but...
No. But it's still not the, you know, it's still not the same feel.
They don't know your team. Like, when you watch a team every single day, there's a different feel than someone who just kind of balloons in, whatever that phrase is. Balloons in.
Whatever.
Umbrellas in, something like that. Let's go to Brian in Rocky Point. What's up, Brian?
Brian.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you, Brian?
I'm all right. I had a question for Joe here. I know you were talking earlier about the how you desperately need the Jets to, you know, go on a 2-0, 3-0 to begin the season.
Yeah, 3-0, wow.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say the Mets are deep in the playoffs.
Right.
Almost into November. We're at about week eight, week nine of the NFL season. How much are you really going to care about the Jets season if the Mets are going to go all the way?
I'll still care about the Jets season, but I'll be very pumped up about my baseball team winning the whole thing. I mean, I don't see where there's one, you know, correlates to the other. Do you see that? I mean, I'm still going to be pumped up about, you know, or aggravated about the Jets.
I remember.
But I'm still going to be off the wall with the Mets.
I remember.
I mean, you got to figure that the playoffs will probably be around the same time on those weekends when the Jets are playing.
Well, if I have to, you know, I have to have two TVs, I will.
That's in 2015, the Mets were about to play game 4 or 5 of the World Series. Okay, so I forget what day the World Series ended, but obviously Game 4 and Game 5 of the World Series went terribly bad,
right,
as we may recall.
Right. Yes.
And the Jets had just lost a game to the Raiders in Oakland, if I'm not mistaken. And I remember it being a brutal, brutal Jet loss, and here the Mets are playing a World Series game. And I remember the emotions of being so pissed off about a brutal football loss, you know, week 7 of the season.
Right, right.
And then all of a sudden just changing your emotions okay, it's game 5 of the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to take anything away from the Mets, you know, but I'm still going to be, you know, upset with the Jets. I don't see where there's a correlation, is there?
No.
I mean, if anything, it'll temper my aggravation with the Jets.
You would think
a little bit.
And this baseball.
I mean, if I got a ticker tape parade to go to with my guy here, I think.
Of course.
That'll be pretty good.
And now, because of the lockout, the World Series is like exclusively in November. I think game 1 of the World Series is October 31st
or
November
1st. Yeah. I hate that.
They had to, though.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but you like this new playoff format?
No.
Yeah, I don't like it at all.
No, I don't.
Are they going to keep 6 teams in each league getting into the playoffs?
Yeah, I thought that one of the ideas that made more sense was, and this would have worked out better, and I think the players proposed it, is to go back to the NL East and NL West. Your division winners each get to the divisional series, and then you've got the second place and the third place team playing each other in a best of 5. I don't like the idea that a division winner may have to play in the wild card series. Now, that's not going to apply to the Mets or the Yankees.
No, because they're going to be either first or second.
But in general, that bothers me because I think winning the division should matter. And winning the division should be some kind of special thing as opposed to having to be in this crapshoot best of 3. That's the part of the playoffs that bothers me.
I liked it when the division winners and the 2 wild card teams played each other in the sudden
death. I think that was the best format they've had.
It was the best.
Since I was a kid with just the 2 division winners.
Yep.
Our buddy John Heyman is with us.
Oh, my God. Joining the show is Odyssey MLB Insider, John Heyman. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com. John Heyman. Hi, John.
Hello, guys. It's so great to be back with you. I've missed you.
Now, I got a couple questions that I'm going to ask you right off the bat, okay? Will the baseball writers hose Aaron Judge and not give him the justified MVP and give it to Ohtani, okay, just like you guys did to Albert Bell in 1995? Will you hose Judge like you did to Albert Bell?
Well, I know you are the Albert Bell fan club president.
Well, so, Evan and I are co-chairmen.
Yes.
Hey, let's not get that debate again. No, Judge is clearly the MVP. There's no debate. It's so obvious. It's an all-time great season, which I'm writing about for the Post tomorrow. On pace for 65 home runs on, you know, one of the two best teams, and is the key reason for that team. I don't think anyone will – I shouldn't say that because you never know with my brethren. I think there'll be less than five voting for Ohtani. Now, Ohtani is amazing, all that, but, you know, Judge is clearly 100% the MVP, no debate.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad you're saying that. Now, I got one more for you along these lines, okay? Evan's laughing because he knows what I'm going to ask you.
Yes.
Will you guys hose Jose Altuve, okay?
I like the way you put that.
Will you hose Jose Altuve, only the greatest second baseman of my lifetime? I put him ahead of Joe Morgan now. A clear first ballot, no doubt about it, Hall of Famer. Will you hose him because of the cheating scandal?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Yeah, I think he's on track to be a Hall. If his career ended now...
he's in. Probably. Oh, come easy. On.
He's a lock. I have to look at it.
Easy.
Yeah.
You have to look at it.
I mean, it's not even
debatable. I had 8 locks, I remember, when I did that, and he wasn't one of them. This was a few months ago. But
what?
I think he's probably a Hall of Famer.
Probably.
Yeah,
I'd have to look.
He's won 3 batting titles.
Are you serious?
He's won an MVP. He's a career .306 hitter. Like, he's a lock.
John,
if he retired
John,
tomorrow.
John, I put him ahead of Joe Morgan now. I got to tell you.
No, no way.
What do you mean, no way? What do you mean?
Joe Morgan won 2 MVPs.
Okay. Joe Morgan will also. Wait a minute. Hold on a minute.
You got to look at the war.
God. Can I do this?
War.
You also played on a loaded team. Joe Morgan was on a loaded team.
So is Altuve.
Okay, but he's the lead player on this team. Is he not the lead player?
Yeah. No, I think he is.
Okay. Was Joe Morgan the lead player on the Reds?
He was one of him, Bench, and Rose were the three.
And don't forget Tony Perez as well.
Right, but I would put Bench, Rose.
Of course.
The other thing, though, you're leaving out, and Joe, I don't even know if you know this, just the pure numbers of this.
Go ahead.
Jose Altuve has now played 79 postseason games, half of a regular season.
Oh, yeah.
He has hit 23 postseason home runs. 23 postseason home
runs. Who has the postseason home run record now because it's so skewed because they don't,
Manny,
it's not just the World
Series. Bernie, one of those two guys, I assume.
It should be Mantle, right?
Mantle has the World Series.
Yeah, obviously it's not fair to Mickey. Right. He didn't have those extra rounds. But think about that. Jose Altuve has 23 postseason home runs in 79 games.
That's a tremendous play.
Yeah, I think he's probably in.
He's a lock. He's a lock.
Yeah.
All right, I'm glad you guys aren't going to, do what you did to Albert Bell to Jose.
By the way, the all-time record is Manny Ramirez at 29. Altuve is second.
Right. By the way, another guy who should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know, but you don't like Manny. I understand, whatever he was doing, he did all kinds of
different... That's a different issue.
But he still is one of the, like Albert Bell, one of the great right-hand hitters of his generation. Very likely.
What did Albert Bell get? How many votes did he get? Like 7?
Got nothing. Did you ever look at this guy's numbers? Well, his OPS is like what? What is it? You guys love OPS? What is it?
He's like Joe Carter.
He's better than Joe Carter.
He's not Joe Carter. He was better than Joe Carter.
Give me a break.
His OPS was .933. 4 seasons over 1,000. He was a beast. He really was.
Well, he was in that era where the offense was way up.
But he wasn't doing steroids. He's never been. And I'll tell you something, too. We were fortunate
enough. Cheat. Yeah.
How did he cheat? What did he cheat?
Corked his bat once? Is that what you're saying?
Once. Yeah, right. He just happened to get caught that one time. You're not that naive, are you, Evan? I don't believe it.
No,
you're
from
the five towns. You're
just
smarter
than that.
His
bat. Oh, come on. You think he's the only guy ever only Hall of Famer to cork his bat?
Yeah, you guys had no problem putting in guys who threw spitballs.
He's not a Hall of Famer.
What about all the spitball guys you put in the Hall of Fame who openly talked about cheating? Like
I can't
Gaylord
believe
Perry.
You
see, no issue with that.
I don't want to continue too long with Albert Bell. By the way, I had Albert Bell on my podcast. This guy, what an interview! This guy. You ever try to interview Albert Bell?
Podcast?
He probably won't talk to you.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't talk to journalists.
Well, okay, he only talks to, you know, what?
Well, you're an entertainer.
There is an element of entertainment here. That is true, John.
Yeah.
And we have brought your entertainment value up to a high level.
I know. My wife is telling me my personality has gone south since I've not been on with you guys.
There you go. Well,
yeah, but you're a big podcast star. You and Joe Sherman have a podcast.
Oh, is that
called
right? You and Sherman have a podcast now?
Yeah.
We do, yes. The show. And we have guests and we talk baseball. And nice. Yeah, we do it every week. Yeah, nice. Thank you. I appreciate that for mentioning.
No problem. Were the Angels ever close to trading Shohei Ohtani, or was that just all BS?
No, the owner said emphatically and profanely, I'd rather trade my GM and my manager than trade him.
So they're not going to trade him. He has 1 year left before he gets the free agency.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So he's just going to get the free agency and sign with Steve Cohen. That's where we're headed.
I think he will get the free agency. I'm not going to guarantee which team. You know, there are 29 other teams. I know you guys are focused on the Mets, but there are 29 other teams. It does seem like he probably will go elsewhere because he wants to win. I don't blame him. And this is a guy who's not all about the money. You got to give him credit. He's basically, I mean, obviously he's a rich man, but he's making one-tenth of what he should be making. So, and he doesn't complain, at least not that we know about. I give him all the credit in the world, and yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. I think he'll play one more year with the Angels. They'll lose again next year, and then he'll leave as a free agent, and they'll get a draft choice for him. Mm. That's why I think they should have traded him.
Now, is there any chance, and I never thought, I mean, if you asked me this question like last year or 2 years, what I'm going to say now, I can't believe I'm actually saying this.
Uh-oh.
Because 2 years ago, or even last year, I would say, this is insanity. Don't you have to start to look at Edwin Diaz for the Cy Young Award?
Yeah, I think you have to consider him for Cy Young and for MVP. You got to put him on the ballot, I would say. I think the Cy Young winner is Alcantara. Yeah, I think he's the winner. I mean, he's the only guy that throws eight innings.
Yeah, no, I have no issue with Alcantara, but I think, you know, Edwin Diaz has to be in the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ballot has five now, so I would say he should be on the ballot. He's having an all-time great season for a reliever. So, yeah, and I think he should be on the MVP ballot.
Yeah,
I don't know what I have this year. Last year I had the MVP ballot, and I voted a little differently than most, but I had the ballot. Maybe they're taken away from me this year. I haven't heard anything, so I don't know.
Alonso
maybe
should be
I
in
get
MVP.
Rookie.
Alonso, too, for MVP. Alonso, too.
He should be in there. What about Lindor? Lindor should be in there.
Yeah,
too.
but he's Pete's the lead guy. Lindor's been great, don't get me wrong, but Pete's the lead
the
guy.
Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso's war is the reason why I wipe my ass with war. I'm being dead serious. I find the
way war is bad.
It's bad.
How is it possible?
Bad isn't the right word, but Joe, I'm not even kidding you. They list about 40 guys ahead of Pete Alonso.
How the hell is that possible?
That's my point. That's why, John, I'm all for new age stats. I'm a very open-minded guy.
What?
The disrespect that this made-up stat has for a guy like Alonso. I watch him every day. Joe watches him every day.
Every day.
They act as if he can't make a play at first base, and he runs backwards when he tries to run the bases. Like, it's all BS. I'm sorry.
It's completely.
It doesn't back up reality.
Pete Alonso will eventually, and the Mets, they should pay him now. I mean, they should just give him a contract now, like the Braves did with Austin Riley, will eventually be the greatest everyday player in the history of the Mets.
Maybe. I mean, right now, Piazza, I'd say, right?
Well, he's going. Yeah. He's moving pretty quick to go by Piazza, I'll tell you that.
You lock him up long-term and injuries don't derail his career, he'll pass him easily.
Remember, we're talking Piazza as a Met, not Piazza as a Dodger. Let's forget that. We don't care what he did with the Dodgers. Who gives a damn?
I just think it's so valuable. It's very valuable to have a catcher who's one of the best five hitters in baseball. So I'd still go Piazza at this point, but Alonso's obviously fantastic. So
he's on his way.
Disagree, but yeah, I'm kind of.
Do we agree about anything, John? Has there ever been anything that I agree with John Heyman?
Yeah.
Right? Yes. You even said the Yankees are one of the two best teams in baseball. I disagree with that, too. I think the Mets are better. I think Houston's better. I think the Dodgers are better. And I think the Mets are better.
Yes. When did I say the Yankees are one of the two best teams?
Did he just say the Yankees are one of the two best teams in baseball?
Did he say that?
Of course he did. Why do you think I made it up?
Well, are you concerned about the Yankees? They haven't played good baseball for a while. Concerned. But they still have a big lead in the AL East. Where's your concern level?
It's pretty high. I am concerned about the Yankees. I agree. Right now, I would say Dodgers the best team. Mets are the second best. Houston's third. Excuse me. Yankees fourth. I think that four teams have kind of separated themselves.
Yes.
I would put the Yankees fourth. So I think we agree on that. I agreed on Altuve. You guys convinced me. He's a Hall of Famer.
First ballot lock.
I'm only teasing about WAR. In fact, my judge column tomorrow, I make fun of WAR because, Judge has a 7.4 WAR in one of the wars and a 6.9 WAR in the other.
That's the other problem. You know, it's a stat that differs based on the website you go to.
Who's got the best WAR right now? Who is that?
Who's the best? Yeah, Judge is the best, and he should be. He is the best player.
Yes, yeah,
of course. That is correct, but it doesn't, to me, with the WAR that he's 6.9, he's only 0.01 as a defensive player. I mean, the guy's outstanding defensive player.
That's BS.
So I don't know where that comes from.
Yeah, right. He's terrific defensively.
That's the problem.
Yeah, and not only is he great in right field.
He plays center,
too. He
goes
to center, and he's pretty good in center.
Yep.
So I don't get that. I think it's crazy. I mean, Lou Whitaker has a higher lifetime WAR than Derek Jeter. You know, there are a lot of...
But why are you citing...
I think Mickey Rolich has a higher lifetime WAR than Whitey Ford.
John, here's my problem. Here's my problem. You brought it up.
Yeah,
I know. I'm just teasing.
You're citing it. Like, I'm on ESPN.com, their version of WAR, okay?
Right.
In the top 50, which includes good players like Alejandro Kirk and Kyle Tucker and Nico Horner and Trey Turner and Logan Webb, guys like that, good players. Pete Alonso's not on that list.
That's
He's not in the top 50.
That's ridiculous.
That's why the stat
is ridiculous.
Is a flawed, stupid stat. It shouldn't be cited.
It's flawed. No, I think we're agreeing on a lot today. I agree it's flawed, and I made fun of it. I don't believe it's not exactly accurate. And then they go back and look at the defensive metrics of guys who retired and give them some kind of point system.
I have where Pete is ranked. Pete is 57th in WAR.
What?
He is tied with Jurickson Profar, and he's slightly behind Ahmed Rosario and Merrill Kelly and Ke'Bryan Hayes.
Come on.
That's part of why this stat is just
Okay, so I'm gonna go to my next thing now, the next bandwagon that I'm on. All right, John, you ready? Well, by the way, we're talking to John Heyman, who does a great job. He writes for the New York Post and all of that. You've upgraded dramatically with that as well.
I knew you'd like the Post.
Oh, I'm a Post guy.
That's why I did.
It's the only paper
I
read.
I would have done it at Times, but I knew you liked the Post better.
Well, I'm glad, yes, by far.
I sensed that.
Yeah, by far.
Yeah.
Okay, now, with all this WAR nonsense, isn't it time we put together, I think these guys have to go in together into the Hall of Fame, Keith Hernandez and Don Mattingly into the Hall of Fame. You agree?
Yep.
Wow.
And I blew it with Hernandez because, I looked at the stats and I didn't vote for him. He is the greatest... Arguably the greatest first. I mean, I think there are
greatest defensive first baseman of all time. There's no doubt about it.
I think Mattingly was just right there with him.
Close. Mattingly was a better hitter than Keith. Keith was better defensively. Is that fair?
Yeah,
that's
what everyone says. I covered the Yankees, so I'm having a hard time imagining anyone being better than
Mattingly was terrific. But you're talking about Hernandez.
Yeah, I mean, there are metrics that show that he is the greatest defensive first baseman.
Who's this,
ever,
Mattingly?
So no, Keith.
Oh, well,
Keith.
Good. He is.
I don't think metrics can define defense. I think your eyes can define defense.
Here's how I look at Keith Hernandez at first base. He played first base like Ozzie Smith played shortstop, like Brooks Robinson played third base. He redefined defense at that position.
Right, and his OPS plus is like 122, something
like
that.
Is that good? I don't know if that's good.
Yeah, 100 is 100 is average.
Okay.
And I don't have it in front of me, but Ozzie Smith is like 80, so he's a below average hitter.
Ozzie Smith was
barely over 100.
Look,
Keith is 122. So
that is
a demonstration of exactly. Now, I do think it's more valuable to have the all-time great shortstop than the all-time great.
Well, he was a better hitter, Keith, than both of those guys. Right, I mean, I.
Yes. But that's the position.
But
John, that position of shortstop is, I think, the one position where you can be a below-average offensive player and get to the Hall of Fame. Because here's what I would respond to, and I totally respect, even though I disagree. Hey, it's more important to have a better defensive shortstop than first base. I think having a great first baseman, as Derek Jeter, can help a career of a third baseman and a shortstop. Andrew Jones, for my money, is the greatest defensive center fielder of all time. I can't imagine and this is not a knock on Willie Mays or anybody like that. I can't imagine.
Griffey, too.
Griffey was great, too. But I can't imagine someone being better defensively than Andrew Jones was in center field. And oh, by the way, pretty good offensive player.
Yep. Yep.
If that guy didn't get into the Hall of Fame on the first ballot, then clearly there's a bias towards a all-time great defensive player getting in. Because Andrew Jones, for my money, is as good defensively in center field as we've ever seen, and yet he can't get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm with you. I vote for Andrew Jones. I've always voted for him. I value defense. I even went over and voted for Scott Rolen, which I didn't at the beginning. I do think defense is a huge part of the game, particularly at those positions. Now, it's not as important at first base, but I do think being the greatest at something, that's pretty important. And Hernandez also had great on-base percentage. I mean, there are stats I don't have in front of me, like over a seven-year period, like the highest on-base percentage, something like that, in the league. And he won an MVP, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
two world championships. Things.
Right, integral part of both of them. So, Keats should be in, and Mattingly. I voted for Mattingly every time, 15 times. He never got, I don't think he ever got 20%.
That's crazy.
That is.
I mean, he was the best player in baseball for about five years, John.
Yeah, I do respect that. I mean, I think that, you know, if you're the best for a period, that's better than just being pretty good for 20 years, you know, and he was the best player, arguably, for 5 or 6 years.
John, I think this was your report. If it wasn't, you can give out the credit to whoever had it. The idea that the Yankees were offering Jason Dominguez in a trade for Luis Castillo, which I find stunning, because I looked at the Yankees' view of Jason Dominguez as this untouchable guy, and no offense to Luis Castillo, he's pitched really well this year. He's 29 years old. He's never had a great, great season at the major league level. Like, he's a good pitcher. Does he give the Yankees a better chance to win? Of course. But Jason Dominguez, if he was as believed in as I thought the Yankees had in him, I'm kind of stunned they would offer him in a trade for Luis Castillo. Does that show that maybe they don't love him as much as most of us thought they did?
No, I mean, they knew they had to come up with a good package to get a chance at Castillo, who they did like very much. I think the scouts really love Castillo, and you could see that what they were, the Seattle, which has a good system, gave up their first, third, and fifth best prospects. First, third, and fifth, right? So that's pretty good. Castillo had a year to go, which is a big thing. He throws very hard. He obviously looked good. His first couple starts was good against the Yankees, once before the deadline, once after the deadline. The price was high. I mean, it's a matter of supply and demand, right? So the supply was not that great. There was really two above-average starters available, and he was the best one of the group, so that's why.
John Heyman with us of the Post, our old buddy from the old days. Always a pleasure talking to you, John. I have to tell you that.
It is a pleasure. You know? I missed it.
Now I want to ask you, do you think that Jacob deGrom is leaving the Mets after this year's over?
I do. Well, I believe him that he's opting out. I think there's a good chance he'll leave. That's
Why?
Just my guess.
Why? Don't? Yeah,
Why?
That's right. Why? Because I get that sense he wants to leave. Why do you say that?
Yeah, I don't know if he wants to leave or not. I couldn't. He doesn't confide in me, but
you're not tight.
I think there'll be other interests out there, and you know he's had some. I think there's been some tension with the front office, and let's face it, he's not always available. The pitch, I mean, that's not his fault.
Do you think the Mets want him back, though? But do you think the Mets are going to be willing to pay him $50 million?
$50 million. The Post estimated. I didn't see that. I they didn't consult me on that one.
I agree. Mike Puma wrote a great article today. I gave him a pop because I thought this was fascinating.
Great article, but I saw a couple of the numbers were a little high.
No, I agree. But what Mike Puma did, for anyone who missed it, because this has been on my mind, so I'm glad he put it together, was what's the cost of just keeping this team together at the end of the year?
Right.
Edwin Diaz, Brandon Nimmo, Chris Bassett. Now, I would let guys like Bassett, Carlos Carrasco, Taijuan Walker walk, but I would re-sign Nimmo, Edwin Diaz, Jacob deGrom.
You let all those guys walk? All three?
Yes. Because
three-fifths of the rotation?
I tell you why. Because between Tyler McGill and David Peterson, you have the ability to fill it. and not have your payroll be what Mike Puma predicted it as, which is $355 million, which is maybe what it would be if you kept DeGrom.
Gotta sell those paintings,
Nimmo,
man. Stevie's gotta sell those paintings.
Listen, if he's willing
to. He's not gonna have to sell the paintings. He's doing quite well.
Well, I'm just saying.
I
mean, you know, if he has to sell them, he's gotta sell them.
Look, if he's willing to write.
If
he's willing to write a check for $350, I got no problem with
right.
it. I'm just saying, if I had to make a decision between keeping Nimmo, DeGrom, and Diaz. I'm good.
Is Diaz a free agent, too?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
See, I didn't know that.
And he's going to get $100 million.
No, he's going to get a lot of money. Yeah.
So I agree with Puma's estimate.
Unless he chokes in the playoffs.
Then we'll view it differently. I agree with his estimate that DeGrom's going to need $50 million a year. How many teams are going to be willing to give that to him, as good as he is?
Yeah, I don't see him at $50 million. I mean, Scherzer got $43 million, and he's reliable.
But Jake's better.
$50 million.
Jake's better.
Yes. Yeah, he's better, but... Would you give $50 million? If you owned a team, would you give $50 million?
Well, how many years? I mean, I wouldn't give him more than 2 years. I wouldn't give him more than a couple years, John.
Well, he's going to look for more than a couple years.
I'll tell you exactly what I'd give him. I'll tell you right now.
You'd give $100 million for 2 years?
I'd give him, no, I was going to actually go further. I'd give him 3 years, $150 with an opt-out after year two. That's what I would offer him.
Jeez, I wish I was a player on your team.
Why? I basically gave that to Scherzer. I gave it to Max Scherzer, who was coming
Max
off.
Scherzer.
I got a tired arm in the postseason, who's missed time the last couple of years. I mean, the Mets
right,
did that.
You're talking about one game he missed. One game.
No, Max has missed time.
He missed 6 weeks with the Mets.
A season. No. He was out for 13
no,
months.
No, we know. We know that.
I understand.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I feel bad.
I don't feel bad.
No, I know he's missed time, but Max Scherzer had missed not as much time, but a couple of starts in 2019, a couple of starts in 2021. So
that's
he's
different
been,
than
he missed
making
6 weeks.
A couple starts.
He missed 6 weeks
There's
this year.
There's a difference between missing a couple and making a couple.
Okay, and here's the other difference. Jacob DeGrom is better than Max Scherzer. He just
is. He's better.
Okay.
Right.
So I don't think my offer is that crazy.
Value. Well, you and Puma agree. I thought $50 million was high. I also thought the $25 million. Again, Puma, I love the article. I love him. He's a fantastic beat writer. I thought $25 million for Diaz was high, too.
I agree. I think I'm with you
on
that.
The record is $17.2 million for Chapman, so I think $18 million may get Diaz
done. The one thing I will say about Diaz is that you never know about these relief pitchers. I mean, he could be the greatest pitcher that ever lived for a year as a relief pitcher this year and then fall off the face of the earth next year. I mean, that is possible.
I agree, but I think there are some risks you just have to take.
Yeah, I guess so.
And
yeah,
I think Edwin Diaz and Jacob DeGrom, to me, are two guys where I know the contracts could end up being bad.
Right.
I'm doing it.
Okay.
As much as I love Brandon Nimmo, I'd put him third on the list and say, I can replace him. I think he's more easily replaceable than the best pitcher in baseball and the best closer in baseball.
Well, how is DeGrom not replaceable? They've just played a half a season without him.
Because when he pitches, he's the best pitcher in baseball, and it ain't close.
But he didn't pitch. He didn't pitch for the first half.
I understand.
They were fantastic.
I'm saying that there aren't many guys out there that can do what Jake can do.
There are guys out there who can do what Brandon does.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. He's the best.
All right, that's my point.
But he's not, for me... I would like more reliability. If I'm going to pay $50 million, I mean, you're talking about Scherzer missed the last start of the season, right? Or basically. I mean, Scherzer is already, clearly a Hall of Famer, you know?
Clearly.
Right. And DeGrom, I don't know, you know? So, I mean, reliability is big. I would say I would go with Nimmo, and I would go with Diaz as my top two guys that I'd want to bring back. I mean, certainly I'd want to bring DeGrom back if you can get him at a reasonable rate, but not $50 million.
I also don't think, and I don't expect you to understand this, and even Joe doesn't agree with me on this.
Well, it's not that I don't understand it, though.
No, but you do understand it. Yes,
no,
you just disagree
with me.
I totally
understand it.
I think that having a guy who has a chance to go to the Hall of Fame, who you developed, who's been on your team for the last 8 years, that's a guy I can't have pitch anywhere else. And I put a major, major premium on that.
I got to ask my John, I'm going to just take a seat for a second, John. I got to ask my partner this. If he left and he left and did not re-sign with the Mets, would you be ticked off with this guy?
I'd be very pissed, yes. I'd be very, very
upset. But you would
upset.
Feel okay, but you wouldn't be as ticked off if we helped us win the World Series first.
Well, I don't know what that feels like, so I can't answer that. Win a World Series?
Well,
what the hell does that mean?
No, because that would kind of change the dynamic a little bit.
Were you pissed off when Frank Cashin very quickly tried to take apart the 86 Mets?
Oh, God, I was beyond.
You were?
Okay,
so then
you know that.
Then I'll answer your question. I'd be beyond pissed off.
Yeah. If the Mets win the World Series, how I feel about Frank Cashion.
Okay, so then isn't that the same answer?
No, yeah, no, it is, but I just wanted to know. I just wanted to know.
Yeah, I think I'd be pissed then.
You know how I felt when he let Darryl walk? I was like delirious when he let Darryl walk.
I get all the concerns about Jake's health.
Like, you have no idea, Jim.
I'm not disputing the concerns about his health. I can't have him pitch for another freaking team. That can't happen. And Steve Cohen should understand that as a lifelong Met fan. How many forever guys have they had?
The only caveat to that is if he didn't want to come back. And some team does offer him some dumb money. Right? I mean, that's the only thing.
If he doesn't want to come back and he takes less money to leave, then obviously you don't want to be here.
Right.
But
I don't think he's...
What was that, John?
Go ahead.
John, you still
there? Yeah, well, you cut out a little bit. Yeah, I don't think he's going to take less money to leave. I don't think he's that upset.
Then pay him.
I just think there's some tension. There has been some tension. He's missed a lot of time. Obviously,
Tension that you're talking... Because I sense it as well. Is the tension you're talking about just the fact that he was hurt for over a year? Is that why the team looks at it has tension with him? Where is the tension coming from?
He's not my employee. I would guess that, you know, he really only made news twice over a 13-month period. Both times it was to say he was definitely opting out. You're paying him $30 million during this period. Certainly we asked him the question in spring training. He answered it. Great, good for him, and I think I appreciate that. And then when he got hurt, he was asked again, are you going to definitely opt out whether you're hurt or not? He said yes. Now, if I'm the employer at that point, I may not love that so much.
John, I apologize. The man was asked a question. He answered it. Jacob deGrom did not hold a press conference to announce he's opting out.
So the Mets are not happy with that, is what you're saying.
You know, he doesn't, I mean, he doesn't seem as, you know, I think there's tension. I don't know if that's
the tension could be the fact. Here's where the tension would come from. That Sandy Alderson claimed there was a tear of the UCL.
Okay.
And Jacob deGrom came out a few days later and said that's not true. So I can see him being annoyed about Alderson.
But Sandy's not here anymore.
Well, he is. He's the team president.
Oh, that's
He's
true
just
too.
Not as
He's
involved,
He's not making
maybe.
The decisions.
But so I could definitely see Jake being pissed about that, rightfully so, if what Sandy said wasn't true. And it turned out not to be true. But the opt-out thing is ridiculous to me. The man's asked a question, and he's given an honest answer. Are you going to opt out? You want him to lie to you? What do you want Jacob deGrom to say to you?
I don't want to come on here and kill the guy, but he hasn't seemed like, you know, we love the Mets, everything's great. You know, he is being paid a good salary. He seemed a little more pissed off than he should be, considering he's making $30 million, and he's pitching some of the time. You know, to me... He should seem a little happier than that, but, you know, maybe he's not that kind of person. I don't know. Huh. I sense there's some tension. You know, maybe I'm wrong. You know, he doesn't give off the scent that I love it here. I want to be here. Everything's great with my teammates. I love this game. You know, it doesn't give off that sense like Scherzer does or like Alonso or like, like Lindor. Doesn't give off that sense, you know, but I find that a lot of these incredible pitchers are kind of on their own program. I mean, he's not the only one. You know, Pedro's on his own program, right? Kershaw, they're you know, a little different. These you know, all-time great pitchers. And he is that. He's an all-time great talent. But I could see if you're the employer, you know, he doesn't strike you as, you know, gung-ho for the team, let's do it for the team kind of thing. He seems... annoyed about
he's got the same stoic personality he's always had.
In the upper 0.00001% of the population.
So you want him every day to come out and say, thank you for paying me this money. Thank you, Mets management.
No,
thank you.
He doesn't have to do that.
It's ridiculous.
No.
Jacob deGrom's personality, and I think this is why he was never as loved as Harvey and Syndergaard from the get-go, is that he doesn't have an overwhelmingly bubbly personality. He's not that guy. He didn't.
Yeah.
I always thought he cut his hair because he didn't want the attention.
You think
so? Yeah. That here's Noah Syndergaard with it. And he's like, you know what? I'm cutting my freaking hair. I always view Jacob deGrom as
I never thought of that, but that maybe.
As the opposite of Noah and Matt
you
in that
right.
He didn't want the attention. That's the way I always viewed it. But here's the truth. Pay him. Okay? I understand why someone says, I'm worth more money than that person. Jacob deGrom looks around baseball, and I get it. He hasn't been healthy. Totally agree. But he says, I'm the best pitcher in baseball. I shouldn't be the second highest paid pitcher on my staff. I should make the most money. And guess what? If he can go out and make every single start the rest of the year and help the Mets win, then he does deserve $50 million a year. That's the market now in baseball.
Yeah, I think it's about production. Has he produced more than Scherzer over the last 4 or 5 years? I don't. My opinion is no.
The answer was yes. Here's the answer to that. The answer was yes until July 7th of last year. That's when it changed, because I can't argue that he missed the second half of the year and the first half of this year. But up until that point, Jacob DeGrom had surpassed Max Scherzer as the best pitcher in baseball. And he's 4 years younger, which...
Right.
Where do you put Verlander in that deal? Best pitcher in baseball. By the way, he's winning the Cy Young Award. You're not hosing him, right?
No, we don't hose anybody.
You don't want to
Verlander.
You don't want to penalize Verlander because he's got a lot of wins and they don't count, right?
Sorry, you're cutting out sometimes. Judge, the race is over. Verlander is definitely in front. You know, Cease is pretty darn good in second, but yeah, Verlander's definitely in front.
And he has the ability to opt out too. So he could be a free agent and get $50 million a year as well while he's out there.
He's 39.
Right, he will decline that. Yeah, he will decline that $25 million player option.
Mm-hmm. All right, real quick, who's going to be in the World Series?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that. Go ahead.
You know, I picked at the beginning. I'm sorry
you
to tell you.
You picked the Dodgers and the Yankees, right?
I picked the Dodgers and the Astros at the beginning
of the
year.
Oh, the Astros, okay.
So, I mean, you know, if I picked the White Sox and the whatever, I might change that prediction now. But I don't like to change. You know, I don't like to change my predictions. I picked the Astros and the Dodgers.
All right.
So
well, it's not really a stretch.
I gotta stick with
You're
that.
Not really stretching
no,
with that.
Not really.
No. Well, I mean, I like to be right. You know, I mean, I'd rather not be wrong.
All right,
Those
John.
Are good predictions. You know, if I picked the White Sox, you'd come out here and kill me, right?
No, we're not going to kill you.
That's true.
Probably a little bit.
There's still somewhat in the race.
Somewhat. John, good talking to you. Congrats on the podcast. We miss you as well.
We miss you too, John.
All the love,
John.
Same here, guys.
The great John Heyman. Yes. Hello, SNY, courtesy of Grubhub. I think you're going to find this interesting. So tonight, the New York Mets play the Philadelphia Phillies at Citi Field.
By the way, we're on TV now on SNY.
Yes. Hello, SNY.
There you go.
Noah Syndergaard will be at Citi Field tonight. He is not pitching this weekend, but he will be in the building.
Right.
The New York Mets, according to Tim Healy, who covers the Mets for Newsday,
no, they're not.
Will be playing a tribute video for Noah Syndergaard.
No. You can't give a tribute video to Noah Syndergaard. The guy couldn't wait. First of all, was he really that good? Okay, let's start with that. Number two, he couldn't wait to leave. He gave this nonsense, okay? And I used to like Syndergaard.
I know.
But he gave you this garbage, okay? Oh, I want to be a Met forever. And it couldn't wait to go. Who was he kidding? How can you possibly... Steve Cohen, intervene.
Intervene.
You can't give a video tribute to Noah Syndergaard. You can't do that.
The only thing.
Can't do that.
Just
That's
hear me,
a bad job.
Hear me out on
Do you agree
this.
With you? Do you think you should?
I'm not saying I agree. I'm very mixed about it. I'm mixed.
I'm not mixed.
I'm mixed. I know you're
and
not
And I used
mixed.
To like Syndergaard, but I'm not mixed.
So I agree with everything you said about the way it ended here. You're 100%
Terrible.
Right, and it pissed me off. Totally agree with you, okay? So the ending was a little bitter, and I think overall his tenure here was a disappointment.
Of course.
I agree with all of that.
Absolutely.
Here's the part where I hesitate. They don't get to the World Series
I understand
without him.
I get it.
Like, he was such a big part.
And he pitched
part.
That great game against Bumgartner in the playoff
yeah,
game against the Giants.
Yeah, the 2016 game. But I didn't
no,
forget
I
even 2016.
That.
Like, in the World Series, the one game they won
right, Syndergaard.
Was started and won by Noah
and
Syndergaard.
And he dusted the leadoff hitter right
yes,
away.
Yes, and he dusted Cedis Escobar.
That's the guy, Escobar.
And we all love it. We all thought it was great.
I can't give him a video tribute.
Well, that's the part I'm mixed about, because I don't know what... What makes you deserve a video tribute? Like, what's the line? Like, David Lee of the New York Knicks got a video tribute. What does that mean?
Let me ask you this question.
Yes.
David Lee got a video.
He did.
Did he really?
Yes. Oh, come on. He did.
That's unbelievable. But that's ridiculous.
Once a Knick, always a Knick.
Yeah, right.
David Lee.
Please, David Lee, give me a break.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. A video. This. You got to be around. Like... All right, let me ask you this. That's what I was thinking. I was losing my train of thought. All right. So let's say that Cespedes was still playing.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And on another team.
Yeah.
Does he get a video tribute?
I think he has to.
No, I agree
you
with that.
You agree with me.
Yes.
Okay.
But not Syndergaard.
All right. I got a good one.
Go ahead.
One. And I don't remember what they did because this guy did come back.
Okay.
Matt Harvey.
You know, I got a warmer feeling in my heart for Matt Harvey than I do for Noah Syndergaard.
Because of the success overall on the field
he was the first of that group.
Okay, fair enough. He was.
And he took the world by storm.
Yep.
And I just, he's become to me kind of almost a sympathetic figure. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's become, what he did in game five and demanding the baseball, and I know he didn't win, but demanding the baseball, I want this game to go out there and do it. That meant something. That means a lot to me as a Met fan.
I totally get that, and I agree with you. Noah Syndergaard made more starts than Matt Harvey.
Did he?
He did. He did.
That's surprising.
His overall numbers are clearly better than Matt Harvey.
Yeah, right.
And
a
lot of that is that Harvey fell way off at the end.
He
and
did.
I acknowledge
way
that.
Way off at the end.
Obviously, the best of Harvey was better than the best of Syndergaard.
Yes.
But
no
Harvey
doubt.
Made fewer starts. He wasn't as successful. And as much as you talk about Game 5, where I agree, Noah won his game.
He did win.
Like, he didn't need anything. They won that
win.
Game.
They did
so
win.
Based on the standard you lay out for Matt Harvey, why not Syndergaard?
Yeah. I guess it's just because, like, I guess the big reason is the way he left.
Yeah, you know, no, I get that.
When you give me the nonsense that you love it here, oh, I want to be here forever, and then 10 minutes later, oh, he signed with the Angels? What?
I think
I mean, didn't that make you delirious?
Yeah, I was annoyed.
Of course.
But I think sometimes these things happen and you realize a few months later or a few years later, that's the best thing that ever happened to me. You know what I mean?
Well.
And sometimes it's happened with women where you're like, oh, thank God that didn't work out. It's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Right.
If the New York Mets had re-signed Noah Syndergaard, is Max Scherzer here? Chris Bassett here?
Yeah.
Well,
I wish Zach Wheeler was still here.
Well, that's a different... Listen, that's a story.
You know how I feel
now,
about
did
that.
They... And I'm trying to remember. Did they do a tribute for Zach Wheeler?
I don't know.
I think they did.
Did they?
But I also think the way Wheeler left, our bitterness was at the Mets and not Zach.
Yeah, no. It was on the Mets, yeah.
But in terms of postseason accomplishments, obviously, Zach Wheeler didn't do anything here.
No.
He wasn't pitching that year.
No,
he was hurt.
Right, right.
So I understand your reaction to it. And by the way, looking at Twitter's reaction, most people are very much anti-video for Noah Syndergaard. I'm just telling you, I'm mixed because I do think he had some pretty damn good moments here with the Mets.
No, I'm not saying he didn't. And there was a time where I thought he was going to be the best of all of them. There was a time.
No, I know.
But I just, when I heard that, when he signed with the Angels, I was so ticked off at this guy.
Yeah.
You know?
No,
give me a break. You know?
But looking at what he did with Anaheim and what he's done with Philadelphia.
Nothing. He did nothing.
He is never even matching what he did in that 2016.
No, he's never going to be that guy again.
And that's incredible
never
to me
happened.
Because in 2016, when he's 23 years old and he's going to the All-Star game and he's going toe-to-toe with Madison Bumgarner, we looked at him and said, we got a guy.
Yeah.
I did. And look what happened after that. He got hurt very quickly in 2017, the whole I'm not going for the MRI thing. He missed a lot of time in 2018. And then in 2019, he wasn't any good. Like, all of a sudden,
he's
not that good. Right. Then he misses all of 2020 and 2021.
Right.
And then 2022, the year where, yes, I wanted him back, you wanted him back. What would he have been? He'd be what the guy he is, which is a mediocre guy.
Yeah.
He never turned out. And he's about to turn 30, by the way. In two weeks, he's going to be 30
years
old.
It's really amazing. I mean, you look at those five pitchers, and I include, obviously, Matt's in this, right? And, you know, the guys that they had, Wheeler, the other, is a... The fact that, you know, the only guy left is DeGrom.
He is the only guy left.
And while Wheeler's still a very good pitcher.
Yes.
But all these other guys have really flamed out.
Yeah. Well, Matz is a serviceable back-of-the-rotation guy.
He's okay.
No, but that's all he is, back-of-the-rotation.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I shouldn't say flamed out.
Harvey's essentially flamed out of baseball.
Right.
And Syndergaard looks like a middle-to-back-of-the-rotation guy. So with it all said and done, the one guy the Mets kept... was the guy who turned out to be the best.
The best of all.
But Zach Wheeler continues to go out there and make 30 starts every year.
I told you, it's one of the three worst non-free agent signings in the history of the Mets that they didn't keep those guys.
It was a bad one.
Yep.
No, I agree.
Yep.
It was bad because you finally saw Zach Wheeler breaking through. You finally saw him becoming that guy.
And now he's like a workhorse now.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
And it does make it worse that he's in the division.
Of course.
If he had signed with the Detroit Tigers and was doing this.
I'd still be mad.
We'd be mad.
But it's not as bad.
Exactly.
Right.
But the Mets are going to see him. He's actually going to pitch on Sunday.
Yeah.
And if the Mets...
beat him. Didn't they beat him last time? They beat him last time.
Oh,
let's go beat him again.
They didn't have success against him, I think, last year or the year before. But now they've started to have a little bit more success against him.
Yeah.
But they may see him in the playoffs, man. I mean, the Phillies are very much a possibility.
Phillies are definitely potentially in the playoffs. I would agree.